You know, it was said that Thomas Edison performed 50,000 experiments before he succeeded in producing a storage battery. We might assume the famous inventor would have had some serious doubts along the way. I think I would have after the first few. But when asked if he ever became discouraged working so long without results, Edison replied, "Results? Why, I know 50,000 things that won't work. 50,000 things that just won't work." And Edison was a man known for his determination that resulted in inventions that have really transformed the world. We benefit from it tonight with the light bulb. And there are many other things that he developed and concepts that he developed that really changed the world and changed things in the 21st century. We might say that when Edison hit a roadblock in his research and development of these inventions, and of course he hit many of them, he just kept digging until he achieved what he was hoping to achieve. And we see this thought tonight from our text in the life of Isaac, the son of Abraham. We pick it up here in verse 17. The Bible says, "And Isaac departed thence and pitched his tent in the valley of Gerar and dwelt there. And Isaac digged again the wells of water, which they had digged in the days of Abraham his father, for the Philistines had stopped them after the death of Abraham. And he called their names after the names by which his father had called them. And Isaac's servants digged in the valley and found there a well of springing water. And the herdmen of Gerar did strive with Isaac's herdmen, saying, 'The water is ours.' And he called the name of the well Esek, because they strove with him. And they digged another well and strove for that also. And he called the name of it Sitnah. And he removed from thence and digged another well. And for that they strove not. And he called the name of it Rehoboth. And he said, 'For now the Lord hath made room for us, and we shall be fruitful in the land.' And he went up from thence to Beersheba. And the Lord appeared unto him the same night and said, 'I am the God of Abraham, thy father. Fear not, for I am with thee, and will bless thee and multiply thy seed for thy servant Abraham's sake.' And he builded an altar there and called upon the name of the Lord and pitched his tent there. And there Isaac's servants digged a well." Now skip to verse 32. "And came to pass the same day that Isaac's servants came and told him concerning the well which they had digged, and said unto him, 'We have found water.' And he called it Sheba. Therefore, the name of the city is Beersheba unto this day." You know, Isaac faced a number of frustrating obstacles trying to find a place to settle with his family and herds and possessions, but just had to keep digging, and eventually God gave him the place he would be the most fruitful at. And there's a principle I'd like to expound on from this passage, and it's really summed up in my title. And simply this, just keep digging. Just keep digging. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for this opportunity to look into the Word of God tonight and find some encouragement and some admonition, maybe even some direction. Father, we thank you for the example Isaac leaves us for us, that we would just keep digging when we're faced with different obstacles and setbacks that tend to fly our way. We thank you for this time. We do pray it would be helpful in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, as we strive to live out the will of God for our lives, there will be times we experience obstacles and setbacks before we are brought to the place of blessing that God has promised each and every one of us. It's very easy, though, when we hit these obstacles and these setbacks, to get flustered and get frustrated. You ever feel that way? You get a setback, or you come up against an obstacle. Maybe it was something that blindsided you, and all of a sudden you start getting flustered. And then you get frustrated. And then you have some decisions to make about what you're going to do next. Again, sometimes when we feel that way, we simply just throw up our hands and say, "Phooey on it, I'm not going to go that way anymore. I'm done trying anymore." Now in our story, Isaac has been staying in Philistine country, in a city known as Gerar. It was the result of a famine that had struck the area. If we read the first verse of the chapter, it talks about a famine similar to the famine that occurred in the days of Abraham. And that had driven Abraham down into Egypt. Well, what did Abraham bring out of Egypt? Hagar, and we know the rest of that story. And God tells Isaac, "Do not go down to Egypt. Stay in the area, and he dwells in this place called Gerar. God told him to stay put. And then while he was there, God began to increase him dramatically. If you look at verse 12 of this chapter, it says, "Then Isaac sowed in that land and received in the same year 100-fold. And the Lord blessed him. And the man waxed great and went forward and grew until he became very great." He received 100-fold. Boy, wouldn't that be nice to invest your money into the stock market and you got 100 times back. You never know in this economy, right? 100-fold. I mean, this was an explosion of blessing for the life of Isaac. And it says he waxed great and became very great. In other words, he became quite powerful as a result of this. Well, this caused some problems amongst the Philistines. They got a bit jealous over what was taking place in the life of Isaac. And they couldn't handle it, so they simply asked him to take a hike. In other words, get out of town. We don't want you here. It says here, at the end of or verse 14, "For he had possession of flocks and possessions of herds and great store of servants." And notice the Philistines envied him. Verse 16, "And Abimelech said unto Isaac," he was the king or ruler at the time in that area, "Go from us, for thou art much mightier than we." They got jealous and maybe they got quite fearful that he was going to override their power or their control of the area. So they say, "Isaac, you need to get out of here." So Isaac says, "All right, I'm going to take off." And in that process of departing from there until the point he ends up in Beersheba, he goes through a series of setbacks and frustrations. But they are all part of God's plan of finally getting Isaac to where he was supposed to be. Back in 2006, 2007, in that area, we were trying to do an outreach down in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil, for the Pan American Games that were taking place there. And I didn't know much about Rio at the time, and trying to find a missionary there was hard. I mean, there wasn't really many there, surprisingly, with how big that city was and how needy it is. And it was one dead end after another dead end after another dead end after another dead end until finally I came across one more shot. And I said, and I was kind of at the point where if this one doesn't go, I think I'm out done. But you know, that person panned out and got me in contact with a person, and the rest is history. We were able to do it thanks to God opening a door. But it took a lot of digging. It took a lot of digging and a lot of frustrating dead ends to finally land to where we wanted to be and needed to be. You know, one common way God leads people is actually through setbacks and obstacles. You wouldn't think it'd be the case, but it's very common for God to lead our path, or direct our paths, as a result of some setbacks and obstacles that crop up within our lives. Very common. Say, why is that? Well, there's a number of reasons that exist. Sometimes it's just simply to slow us down. And sometimes we need to slow down a little bit. Sometimes we want to get out ahead of God and jump the gun because we're overzealous, are over anxious, are impatient. And God's got to put some setbacks in there to just kind of, you know, hold us back a little bit here. It's just like, whoa, there a little bit. Hold your horses. Or an obstacle. And sometimes it's for the point of just simply slowing us down. Because with God, timing is everything. Timing is really important to God. Everything is in its proper place and its proper time with God. And God's timing is often much different than ours. If you haven't noticed that already in your Christian life, God's timing is a lot different often than ours. And there's always a good purpose behind it. And sometimes that's the reason. Sometimes it's to redirect our steps. If we had kept going in the direction that we were going, then we would not get to the place that God would want us to be. And sometimes God has to redirect our steps through detours around these setbacks and obstacles that come up. Sometimes it's to prevent something from happening or simply to enable something to happen that otherwise would not. Now, to us, that seems like a very frustrating thing to go through, isn't it? I mean, we just want to get quickly as possible from point A to point B. But remember, too, in these types of things that we're going through, that God is also working on developing our character into that reflects the Lord Jesus Christ. And setbacks and obstacles, well, they tend to build things like patience in us. And they tend to build things like faith in us. And they tend to build things like determination, kind of what we're focusing on tonight. And also things like commitment, to name just a few of many other character qualities I'm sure we could come up with. Remember, God's working on our character just as much as He is working in the situation. And His timing to bring all that together to the perfect fruition, when our character is ready to receive that blessing, I mean, He has to do a few things and shuffle some things in our life sometimes to make that timing work perfectly. And it's all for a good reason. You know, but this isn't an uncommon thing in Scripture. If you go, hold your place here, but go to Acts 16. In Acts 16, we have the Apostle Paul seeking direction from the Lord. And he gets what is commonly known as, or called, the Macedonian call. In Acts 16, in verse 6, it says, "Now when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia, and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia, after they were come to Mysia, and they essayed to go unto Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. And they, passing by Mysia, came down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia, and prayed him, saying, Come over unto Macedonia, and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them." Now, Paul would eventually get to Asia, where Ephesus and all these places are. But again, it was a timing issue. And there was an open field over there in Macedonia, which we know today is part of modern-day Europe. And that spread the gospel expansion westward when he followed that direct call. But notice, as you notice in that passage, he had some dead ends. He was trying to go this way, dead end. Trying to go this way, dead end. Finally, God revealed the direction he needed to go. Again, this is a very common thing in Scripture for that to happen. And it probably is happening in your life even right now. Again, too often, while in the midst of these types of things we consider so frustrating, it's easy just to throw up our hands and quit or start going our own direction and start coming up with our own plans and our own way of dealing with circumstances. But what we miss out is what God has for us all along. And we actually put ourselves back had we just gone forward with God. Actually, maybe made things a little longer for us than they had to be because of that kind of attitude. Say, what do I do when these setbacks and these obstacles hit? Well, the key is just keep digging. Just keep digging. Keep trying. Keep searching. Keep serving. Keep witnessing. Keep advancing forward, even if that's a crawl. Just don't stop. Just don't stop. In our story, we see Isaac put this principle into practice, and as a result, lands right where God would have him to be. And tonight we'll look closer at this as we talk about, first off, the frustrated desire. The frustrated desire. After departing Gerar, Isaac pitches his tent outside of town in what's known as the Valley of Gerar. And actually, it was an area that had at one point been possessed by his father. At least his father Abraham had dug wells there. He had had cattle there. He had dwelt there in some regards. We see this in verse 17. It says, "And Isaac departed thence and pitched his tent in the valley of Gerar and dwelt there. And Isaac digged again the wells of water which they had digged in the days of Abraham his father." So evidently Isaac had been here before with his dad. "For the Philistines had stopped them after the death of Abraham, and he called their names after the names by which his father had called them." So we see that, you know, he got kicked out of town, in so many words. So he moves over to the Valley of Gerar. He's out of town. And he begins to redig these wells that Abraham and probably Isaac had dug earlier. Thinking, you know, my dad was here before and there was no problem. So, you know, this is much easier for me to move out of the city, just over here into the countryside. That's fine, and it's not too bad of a move. But some problems cropped up, didn't they? Look at verse 19. And Isaac's servants digged in the valley and found there a well of springing water. Yay, great. However, verse 20, and the herdmen of Gerar did strive with Isaac's herdmen, saying, the water is ours. And he called the name of the well Esek, because they strove with him. Well, what happened? Well, he decides that he's not going to, all right, I'm not going to bicker with these guys. I'll just go dig another well. That's exactly what he does in verse 22, or verse 21. And they digged another well, same area, and strove for that also. And he called the name of it Sitnah. Well, he ends up moving again, verse 22. And he removed from thence and digged another well. And for that they strove not, and he called the name of it Rehoboth. And he said, for now the Lord hath made room for us, and we shall be fruitful in the land. So we see this moving going on from one thing to another. Now he had to get out of the valley to another place, and he dug another well. You know, it would have been very easy for Isaac at this point to just be frustrated out of his mind. Because well digging is not an easy task. I mean, they're using pickaxes and shovels in the intense Middle Eastern heat. I mean, Isaac could have gotten real mad and frustrated with this and could have came home to Rebecca, threw his car keys against the wall, you know, slammed down his coffee cup, whatever he would have done, threw his shoe at the espresso maker, all that kind of good stuff they had back in those days. You know, the guy was just trying to lay down roots. I mean, he's just trying to be settled. I mean, he's got all this stuff. He's just trying to lay down roots, and every time he tries, he has to pick up, pack up, and leave. It just keeps being dealt this setback in trying to just get settled. You know, setbacks are very frustrating, aren't they? They are the most frustrating things, I think. Because in a setback, you have put forth a certain level of work, a certain level of effort, both physical and even emotional turmoil. You've given a part of yourself to try to advance something forward, only to have it appear as if it was all for naught. I mean, it's just like, oh, I mean, you think about hours upon hours that you've wasted and so forth. I remember a college professor I had, he was a computer science guy, and he mentioned that he had been working on a project of some sort and had been working on it for several weeks. And he said he had 10 backup disks or whatever he used to back up the program. This was back in the day of floppy disks, okay? He had about 10 of them, just as multiple backups. But somehow, when he was putting them in to back them all up, he actually ended up erasing all of that. It's like, oh. He said, I mean, just like, oh, no. And he said, I didn't see my bed after that for over 3 days as he was working to get all that back up from what he had done. I remember my wife, I think it was after we got married, she had like a term paper or something, like 10, 14 pages, something like that. And she was writing and typing all of it, and then somewhere it just went poof into cyberspace. It was gone. And I had to go back and redo the research and redo all the work, and it was just kind of a debacle for her. But oh man, that's painful, isn't it, when you have a setback? You've advanced and tried to advance. You've put forth all this time, all this energy, physically, emotionally, mentally, and all this kind of stuff, only for all of it to appear to go up in smoke. And to appear we have nothing to show for it as a result. That's maddening, isn't it? That's maddening. That's frustrating. That's aggravating. I mean, you talk about negative emotions that crop up within the soul at those moments. And all we think of, how much time I wasted. Or so we believe. Now, Isaac knows what we feel like, because I think he's probably feeling this the same time. Because, again, digging wells is not an easy task. You know, out there again in the hot sun. And I don't know, it mentions Isaac digged, and then it mentions verse 19, his servants digged. Does that mean that it was his servants every time? Did Isaac get involved in this? I don't know. But I do know this, he knew how important that getting those wells of water up would be for his cattle and for the people that he was responsible for. And that's stressful when you have a lot of people to take care of. Like, we got to get these wells dug. So however they got dug, whether he helped or not is irrelevant. He still got that pressure to take care of all those things, because he's got a lot invested in all this going on. And now he finds water the first time and gets drove off that. And then he finds water the second time and gets drove off that. And finally, he finds another one. You know, Isaac, again, knows how we feel at times. But like Isaac, we have to remember there is a purpose in all of it. There is a purpose in all of it. It's not just a run around, let's busy work type thing. You know, in school, you know, some depending on what homeschool curriculum you might use, some of you, you know, we have our kids do a BECCA, and some of the work is seat work. What is that? It's just busy work for the kids to keep them busy. You know, especially if they were in a classroom setting. You know, when there's setbacks, this isn't busy work just to keep us busy, keep us whatever. No, there is a point behind it. You know, the Bible mentions in Proverbs 16:9, a man's heart deviseth his ways, but the Lord directeth his steps. The Lord directs his steps. In other words, we have a goal in mind, but God knows the best way and the most appropriate way for us to get to that goal. What seems to be a continual bombardment of setbacks for Isaac actually was just simply God's way of directing Isaac's steps to the place that Isaac was to be. Psalms 37:23 says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Isaac was a good man. And that, hence, his steps were being ordered by God. You know, if we find ourselves trying to go a certain way and we run into these types of setbacks and roadblocks, it is good to stop and say, you know what, God? Could you help me here? I need a little direction. I need a little help. Maybe that's why those roadblocks and setbacks are put in there, is so that we would start asking that. Maybe our motives and our desires are right, but God is just trying to steer us in the right spot. I believe that was really what the case was here. That there was nothing wrong necessarily with Isaac's motives, but God wanted to move him into the spot where he could be more fruitful. Even more fruitful than he had actually already been in Gerar. We see, secondly, what I call the fortified determination. Through all this, Isaac's attitude was very critical. Again, it would have been easy for him to respond to the situation with great emotional outbursts of some sort. He could have really gotten after the Philistines, and he could have. I mean, the Bible says he had grown great, and the Philistines seemed to be very concerned about him. You know, could he have picked a fight with them? Could he have invaded them? Could he have? You know, there's lots of things he could have maybe attempted to do in retribution to what they were doing. And sometimes we are offered those options, but it'd be unwise for us to take them. Again, he maybe could have thought the Valley of Gerar had been the dwelling place of my father before and myself. Why not now? Here Isaac had put forth all this effort to dig a well, and because of some bad attitude, Philistines had to leave it. Not once, but twice. He found a spot after that, but for some reason appears to have to leave it as well. Look at verse 22. And he removed from thence and digged another well, and for that they strove not. And he called the name of it Rehoboth, and he said, for now the Lord hath made room for us, and we shall be fruitful in the land. And he went up from thence to Beersheba. I'm not sure if this was just an extension, how close Rehoboth was to Beersheba. They had to split things up a little bit, or if he just had to uproot and leave again. Because we're going to see they're going to dig another well there outside of Beersheba. But you see all this moving around, packing up, and having to bring all this stuff and people, all these different places. I remember being on deputation, and for about half of it was just my wife and I, and then the second half of it was my wife and I and Peyton and all that baby stuff. And I remember unpacking the car, hauling everything into the missions apartment or the hotel. And sometimes we were there for a night. Sometimes we were there for a couple nights. Sometimes we were there for more than that. And then having to pack all that stuff up. And we had it placed almost like a jigsaw puzzle within the van we were using. And then we had to unpack again. And I was constantly packing and unpacking. Unpacking, unpacking as we drove from this place to that place. You know, that's a very laborious process. I feel for those missionaries that have those large families. I'm like, how do they do it? They are saints to be able to do that across the country. But it's a very laborious task. I remember when we moved here from Fargo. And we had a house in Fargo. Before, while we were on deputation, we sold the house. We rented an apartment that had a double stall garage. So we had boxed everything up and put it within the garage. And then, of course, we had some stuff within our apartment and used that as our base as we traveled. And then when we moved here, you know, we had all this stuff to move down. And it took me 3 trips, just to, 4 hours one way to get everything down here and then to put everything away and do that. After that, we vowed that we would not be moving for a very long time. It was painful. But then we forgot that pain a few years ago and decided to move over to Lakeville. And when we were cleaning out our house in Cottage Grove, and we had, I think, half the thing filled, the truck filled. I think we both looked and wanted to cry with the amount of stuff that was still in the house. And we had sold off a few of the things because we had gotten some new stuff. Oh, it was painful. And we once again made our commitment not to move anytime soon. And I think about how painful of a process that is, and I have to think about what Isaac was going through every time he had to move all those cattle, all those sheep, all those goats, probably a few cats and dogs and everything else like that, plus the families, plus all the tents, plus all the necessary equipment to have all that he had. I mean, that's a big task. What I'm saying is that would have been real inconvenient and painful. Uproot here, over here, uproot here, over here. Feel what Isaac would have felt. And he ends up uprooting and moving, and along with the effort to dig multiple wells. That would be aggravating. But through it all, the Bible makes no indication of Isaac getting so disheartened and frustrated that he gave up. I'm sure he maybe felt it, but he didn't react to it in a negative way. In fact, when the Philistines gave him trouble, he seemed to just turn the other cheek and tried to avoid the conflict with them. It's like they strove with him, So, okay, I'll go over here. They struggled with him again. He left. You know, he doesn't use his power and ability, and he may have had enough, who knows, to have taken them on. We don't know. Or at least enough to make them hurt. But he kind of turns the other cheek to avoid the conflict. And what I see in Isaac is a great character quality, that one of determination. He simply keeps digging until he finds the place God would have him to be. You know, if we truly believe God has something great to offer us, we'll pursue that with a dogmatic passion as well, and we will not allow setbacks and obstacles to prevent us from getting the best that God has for us. If you go to Matthew 13, hold your place here, but there's some parables of the Lord given in Matthew 13. And he's likening the kingdom to heaven to a few different things here. But there's kind of a principle that is reflected that is similar to what we're talking about tonight in our passage. The mentions in Matthew 13, verse 44, it says, "Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a treasure hid in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath and buyeth that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who when he had found one of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it." You know, what you see here is something to be said about the determination of people pursuing the best that God has for them. That's really part of the principle that's listed in those parables. Any key blessing, whether it's, you know, getting to heaven or whatever it is that God would have for us. But if we truly want God's best, then we won't allow things to deter us from getting it. We won't quit. If we don't believe God has the best blessings, then we will hit these setbacks and roadblocks and we will give up. And we will get frustrated with God. And we will feel sorry for ourselves until we wake up and realize, you know what, God does have the best in mind for me, and thus I must keep marching on despite all this. But if we maintain the attitude, I give up, I'm going to be frustrated with life, I'm going to feel sorry for myself, I'm going to have a bad attitude, I'm going to pout, I'm going to do all these, you know, hold on to that kind of spirit, we'll never get God's best. We'll never get God's best at all. What God wants us to do is just stay the course. Allow those setbacks and obstacles to be the teachers and direction givers they are meant to be. Isaac's determination and patient demeanor landed him in a place he could multiply just like God promised him. In fact, I believe it was the place that was probably meant to be. He would get far more than had he stayed where he was at before. As we talk about thirdly and finally, the faithful deity. Now, in this whole process, God has not forsaken Isaac at all. Not one bit. But just allowed these setbacks and obstacles to lead Isaac to, again, the place God wanted him to ultimately be. It was the space for him to be even more prosperous than he had been before. And I believe God wanted Isaac to be fruitful, to multiply and be blessed, just like he does us. You know, in John 15, Jesus said this, "Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples." You know, God gets great pleasure and glory out of seeing us fruitful. And God knows where that is. And right now, God is trying to get you to that place where you can be fruitful. Now, you may not have all the flocks and the herds and all that kind of stuff like Isaac did. And you may. You may get some of that kind of stuff. But it's the place, most importantly, that you will be spiritually fruitful, the most. And to get there, you might go through some setbacks and obstacles along the way that will redirect your steps, slow you down, and do things that will time things out perfectly with your character and everything else God's trying to accomplish in that. Again, in order for Isaac to be more prosperous, God had to get him out of Gerar and over to Beersheba. Had not these instances occurred, he would have still stayed in Gerar. But because of these instances occurring, he's now in Beersheba, where he, as it appears, will spend most of the rest of his life. And there would be far more room for him to blossom there than there would have ever been in Gerar. Again, God had a purpose behind it. And I believe God reminds Isaac of that in verses 24 and 25. He says, "And the Lord appeared unto him the same night and said, I am the God of Abraham, thy father. Fear not, for I am with thee and will bless thee and multiply thy seed for my servant Abraham's sake. And he builded an altar there and called upon the name of the Lord and pitched his tent there. And there Isaac's servants digged a well." He digged a well. And once Isaac was settled, you know, God even brought peace with the problem makers that drove him to that part to begin with. We don't have time to read it, but verses 26 through 31, Ahimelech, the leader, if you will, of Gerar, comes with a few men, and they kind of have a sit-down conversation with Isaac, and they make a covenant, and basically they go away in peace. You see at the end in verse 31, "And they rose up betimes in the morning and sware one to another, and Isaac sent them away, and they departed from him in peace." Here now God even put his enemies at peace with him. And then of course, he got also what he needed with that well. It says in verse 32, "And it came to pass the same day that he made peace with the people that had been causing him all those problems that had driven him basically to Beersheba, that Isaac's servants came and told him concerning the well which they dig, and said unto him, We have found water." In other words, God met the need. God met the need. You know, it's easy to conclude that all these frustrating setbacks and obstacles are just wasting our time. But again, God has a purpose in all of it for good. And really, when we're facing those types of things, our attitude needs to be, "Okay, Lord, I'm going to stop. I'm not in control here. I understand that you are. Help me navigate these setbacks. Help me navigate these obstacles. Help me navigate what I'm dealing with that seems to be delaying me from getting to point A to point B in my life. And help me just to know that you're in control, and I'm just going to remain flexible and bendable and moldable, so that I can get to point A from point A to point B as fast as I can through the obstacles and setbacks you may allow to come my way." That's the best attitude to have, and that'll be the most joyous one to have too. You won't get too flustered and frustrated when they come across your path. That you're going to just allow God to order the steps. By the way, that's the fastest way to get between point A to point B anyways. If we try to deviate, all we promise is that distance will only get longer. It'll only get longer. But when God directs our steps, it leads to places we never thought possible. You know, back in 2014 when we were in South Korea, our goal was to target the athletes, particularly because there was athletes from 43 different Asian countries. Much of them live within nations that are closed or restricted heavily to the gospel. And we had all those tracks there from different languages and so forth. And I remember I had a press pass and got the opportunity to go inside the athletes' village for a day, only to have that shut down because of some complaints that some of the Muslim athletes had made against us, against receiving literature and so forth. But I remember shortly after that, there were a couple gals that they were sent to a bus station. And that day they got kicked out of the bus station. And they were dragging their heads a little bit, from what I understand. And they walked around to an area that was a shopping area, only to discover that there was a steady stream of athletes coming from the athletes' village there to shop. And it was the most prime location to meet up with athletes from all over Asia. And we've got lots of pictures to prove all that. And those that were there had probably the opportunity to be part of that. It all happened because we had to keep digging another well. We had to just keep digging. And then God opened the opportunity and the door to see that all come to fruition. Again, it turned out to be the best when we just allowed God to guide us and we just didn't give up. Again, the whole point I'm driving at again is just keep digging. Just keep digging. Just keep trying. Just keep trying to go forward. Don't give up. Don't quit. Because the setbacks and the obstacles have their purposes. You know, if we have that kind of determination, I'll guarantee you, based on the promises of the Word of God, you're going to find God's best. And it'll be well worth it when you get there.